So the Sunday school superintendents asked me to teach a lesson here on, or workshop, or whatever they call it, on how to teach Sunday school, or preparing to teach Sunday school, or something of this line. And I think it was Randall that first talked to me. I said, well, I feel like I want to be the one sitting in the class, not the one teaching it. But I also believe that if a person is able, they should be, well, yeah, if you're able, you should be willing to do things. So I said, yes, I would do this. Just to clarify, time, the bell that I need to be aware of is what, 10 till or 5 till? 10 till, all right. So we're here to talk about Sunday school teaching. And what is the goal of Sunday school teaching? Simply put, I think it's to better understand God's word and to lead your class to a deeper understanding as well. And you do this through presentation, through guided discussion, through thought-provoking questions, application questions. So that was on your handout there. And I designed this not as much a follow-along as something to take home. So I'm not going to ask if you took this home and kept it and studied it over the next year. So don't worry about that. But I find that you sit in a class and you learn things, and then 3 weeks down the road when you're ready to teach Sunday school, you're like, you know, there were some really good things that he talked about, but I can't remember what they were. So here's something to take along, and it'll help you remember. So the other thing, two things you should know about me that will explain a couple of things I'm going to say here. One is I like to have things just right, and I was looking at the indents here for the outline on this handout, and I was altering it so I could fit more in one paper without having multiple papers, and some of it got messed up. So if you look under section 3 and then section A, and then has Roman numerals, and under Roman numeral 4 there's a Arabic numeral 1 that should be indented further, and so that bugs me. But I'm sorry, if you see little things like that, you just have to indent them in your mind. I can get you a corrected version later if you like, just ask me. The second thing is, I do not want to run out of things to say ahead of time, and so I over-prepare. And those of you that sit in my men's class know that I have to talk fast to get through everything. So we will work on that. But if you want to talk to me later about some things that I had to skim over, please do that. God's word has depth. The basic message of God's word is easy to comprehend and understand, but a deeper understanding is always available. The deeper understanding, though, takes study to comprehend, to work with. We do not learn without work, and it takes work to prepare a Sunday school lesson. And then work, that's on the teacher's part, but there is, to a smaller scale, work on the participant's part. So you need to be in working with and staying with what we're talking about to get something out of it, to learn. So the teacher studies and prepares, and the class discusses and explores applications. So just to kind of lead into what we're going to talk about, to a person who's never taught Sunday school before, it can easily feel overwhelming. But for the person who is not particularly experienced, or maybe you do have experience but you want to take it on to the next level, where do you start? Where's a good place to start? And I would say, good principles of Bible study. Hopefully everyone here says, yes, that is a good place to start. And I think no matter where we are in our experience level, we can always learn better Bible study techniques or principles. And every good teacher had to start somewhere, and that good teacher did not start out by being a good teacher. So to that end, this morning's workshop, and this is not necessarily a Sunday school lesson, we're not taking apart scripture and talking about it, but we're talking more about Sunday school teaching. So it's more of a workshop or a presentation. And our basic outline will be, we're going to talk about the centrality of the text, or how do we keep the Bible text important, central. Then we're going to talk about a framework for Bible study. And you may have heard different frameworks like OIA, observe, interpret, apply, so something along those lines. And we're going to spend a good bit of time there. And then we'll look at some other practical tips, not necessarily connected in a flow, a framework, but things that I've found helpful that I could to suggest for you. And then a last note, this is geared for adult and youth teachers. But all the principles will still apply if you teach a younger person's class, but obviously applications will be adjusted. You won't go as deep, adjust as necessary for your class. So, centrality of the text. I think the goal of a Bible teacher should be to keep the Bible text the most important thing. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly handling or dividing the word of truth." So whenever you approach the Bible to teach a lesson, you are handling or you are dividing, in King James terminology, the word of truth. I think we do well to heed the admonition here to strive diligently, or do your best to do well at this. We're not after recognition of the church. Hopefully, I do not, when I teach a Sunday school lesson, I do not want at the end of them to say, at the end of the class for the students, the people in the class to say, "He was a really good teacher." But I would rather be after God's approval and God saying, that was what I wanted the Bible to say. So as a teacher, that should be your goal. About 2 years ago, I forget when it was, Dan Root from Terry Hill High School came and did a workshop, or I think he came two different evenings. We got snowed out one of them or something. But those are good Bible study course as well. So if we have, I don't know if we have those in the CD archive somewhere, but that would be a really good place to look for more reference. One of the things that I remember Dan talking about was just about how important Bible text is. He was working on a construction project, putting door pulls on cabinets. This is just, cabinets can get expensive, and so he was drilling holes to put the door pulls on, and he got the right side of the door, I guess. You want to pull the door pull on the side that doesn't have the hinges, right? So he drilled all the holes, and then went to put on the hardware and realized that he drilled the holes on the wrong side of the door. He drilled them on the hinge side. And cabinets are expensive, and I'm not sure that was a cheap fix. But he said that was an example of not approaching something with good, improperly handled it, put it that way. We want to properly handle God's word, and that's about the most important thing that we handle in our lives. My father-in-law, experienced Sunday school teacher, he's a preacher, he taught school, Christian school for 30 years, I think, 35, somewhere, it was a long time. So I said, when I was preparing for this, I said, well, I should ask him what should I tell people about preparing to teach Sunday school? He said, you've got to have the Bible as your foundation, and that's another way to say keep the text central. Approach it with the mindset of uncovering what the Bible says, and listen to the Spirit reveal it to you. Don't avoid telling yourself what the text means if you're drawing on your personal experience. Right? So this is, I think, easy for us to do. We say, oh, this verse means X, Y, and Z. But that's because that's what we always understood it meant. That's not necessarily because we did the Bible study. So don't read into the Bible. Let the Bible teach you. And he gave me a simple three-step or three-question framework for Bible study. So moving into the next point on your outline there, the three-step framework to Bible study. First question is, what does it say? Second question is, what does it mean? And third question is, how does it affect me? Those three questions, and I find If I don't know how to put together a lesson, having a framework, having steps to follow, just helps. It helps you make good use of your time, but it also gives you a starting point. So what does it say? What does it mean? And how does it affect me? And if you are familiar with other frameworks for Bible study, one that says observe, interpret, apply, those are two different ways of saying the same thing. What does it say? Observation. What does it mean? Interpretation. And how does it affect me? Application. So what does it say? the more you study, the more you think on and ponder a passage, the more meaning it can take on, and the more rewarding it is. So how do you know what the Bible says other than to read it? And so I say, read the text early and read it often. A pitfall that sometimes I get stuck into, and I wonder if it's a very common one, is a Sunday school teacher doesn't read the text often enough. Often enough. We read the teacher handbook, we read commentaries, we read other things, but we neglect the text. I am not an expert at this. I've only been doing it for a few years. But I understand. You're just like, well, how can you just read the text? Yes, just read the text. Jim, is that a good observation? He says yes. So the Bible study helps, the teacher's handbook, they are not bad things, but don't let them take away from the most important thing is to read the text, and then apply some of these questions that we'll be talking about in a minute here. How many times? I'm not going to give a number, but I'd say 40 or 50 times, that's not too much, right? So just set a number. Totally different context, but what did Jesus tell, was it Peter when he said, how often should I forgive this man? You think seven times? It's like, don't even count it. So what does the text say? Find the theme and find the important points. And so I wrote down, 8 or 9 questions here under the what does it say? So as you read, these are questions to ask of the text. Try to imagine the original readers. Who were the people? So that's a question to ask yourself. Who is the author and who are the readers? And that will give you a sense of understanding why the text says what it does. Use the context or the surrounding passages to better understand. So context, what is that? Idea of context is simple. No scripture exists entirely by itself, right? Nothing stands alone. It is part of the Bible as a large group. And it's part of the surrounding text. You can understand a phrase by how it appears in a verse. So in other words, every sentence has a structure. You got to understand part of the sentence by the rest of the sentence. You've got your subject and your verbs and all these things. That's at the very granular level part of context. You cannot take a phrase out of a sentence without taking away some of its meaning. Similarly, you can't take a verse out of context without understanding it in relation to the verses beside it, and then the paragraph that it's in, and the chapter that it's in, and then the book that it's in, and then by the books that are around it, and then by the Testament, and then by the entire Bible. Another way to think about this context thing is ask yourself the question, how does this relate to God's story? This is something that I forget sometimes. God has a story that's been going on for a couple thousand years, and we don't know how many more years it'll go on here, but God's story has been and will be, and the entire Bible relates to it somehow. Or another question might be, how does it relate to Jesus? Understanding, I have to skip over some of this stuff here. I apologize. You can talk about it later. Did you skip over something? Yes, let's talk about it then. After church, maybe. It may be helpful. Let me say it this way. So a COP lesson generally takes 15, 20 verses, something like that. Sometimes it's a whole chapter, but often it's a section of a chapter. It is helpful for you to know where that chapter or where that section of the chapter fits into the flow of the book that it's taken from. For instance, what is today's lesson supposed to be? If we were taking it out of these books, Ezra chapter 1, and then Ezra chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, and then 10 to 13. So there's a couple different sections of verses that they took from Ezra. But the entire book of Ezra is not in the lesson, so it would be helpful for you to know what is the flow of the book of Ezra. First of all, who wrote it? That's probably a little bit obvious, Ezra. I think I didn't research that, so check me out maybe. And then what time frame in history, what might they be talking about, what is the situation of who are the readers, so on and so forth. What do they talk about in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, etc. So the more experience you get, the easier it will be to put those sorts of things together. But a Bible handbook is often a helpful guide that someone has taken the time to kind of outline and do the flow of thought through the book. So a Bible handbook may be helpful for doing some of that research. I've alluded to this before already, but asking questions is one of the best ways that you can learn. It's the most important thing to do in Bible study. Where do I have that in here? It's in other tips. I think, yeah, E. Toward the end of the page, about fourth from the end. Ask many questions of the text, the more the better. So I've given you a bunch of questions to ask in the handout here under the what does it say. What is this key idea of the passage? What are the significant parts? Is it a story? Is it an exposition? What is the flow of the argument or the presentation? So if it's a story, how does the story flow? If it is, say, from Ephesians, how does the, Paul is kind of writing in, we think of argument styles as antagonistic. Well, argument in a more general sense means presenting ideas and reasons for arguing a certain position. This is the reason, and therefore this, and therefore this. So there's a very logical flow. Outline that flow. Find the main points. Find is there a negation somewhere? Things like that. Writing out an outline of the Bible text will help. Write out the passage, maybe in hand or in computer, and every time a phrase or an idea changes, put it on a new line, and then either indent, do it right away, indent further, like subpoints, indent a little bit, and then if it comes back to something that lines up with this level of thought, come back here, or there's an entire science of things around there. If you, I was never good in English sentence diagramming and stuff, but that may be helpful. You can do better than I do there, maybe. So ask questions of the text. And I'm not going to talk about all these questions on the paper, but ask them. Try to understand. Not all of the questions you ask will be good questions, but the more questions you ask, the better chance you have at getting the good questions. Does that make sense? The more you think about it, the more questions you will have. And some of the questions you'd be like, I should ask this question of the text. Who is the author? And you'd be like, oh, that was easy. But then after a while, you get to more important questions. And you have to do it to get better at it. And just the more you do, the better you get. After you spend time in the text and asking questions, trying to understand it, you get to the point of trying to ask yourself what it means to interpret the text. And I don't think that this is two separate phases that you do, say you have 6 hours that you prepare for Sunday school, or however many hours it is. The first two are what does it say, and then the next two are what, it doesn't happen quite like that. This is kind of there's an overlap section. And you're still asking questions. Okay, so now I've studied this section. What does it mean? Think of the example a couple weeks ago. I taught a lesson on Matthew 7. The builders, the two builders, build the foundations. One built on the sand, one built on the solid rock. All right, so we can talk about context. Where does that come in the Sermon on the Mount? Where does the Sermon on the Mount fit into the book of Matthew and the life of Jesus? Those are context-related questions. But then the next level of question would be, what does it mean? What significance does it mean that this one builder built on sand versus the other one on rock? And then you say, well, does it mean that God is going to test your works, that he's going to send storms in your life? That's not necessarily the interpretation of the passage. The importance of what you build your life on is more the meaning there. Not that any other interpretations would be wrong, but you're asking yourself, what does it mean? The point of that story focuses on the foundation. So this is where maybe you'd spend a lot of your time and energy, in a sense, convert what the Bible says into what it means. And you ask yourself, what did it mean for the people that originally read it, the first readers? What does it mean to a reader today? Other questions. Why did the writer write that? Why did he write it there instead of further on or sooner? Why did he write it at all? What are the significant words? And to understand what the significant words are, you need to have been reading the text and understanding the flow and the ideas that it's talking about. How does this passage tie into the rest of the Bible's message on that specific topic? So that's the question. Maybe it's a meaning, maybe it's an interpretation question, maybe it's a what does it say question. What does the rest of the Bible say about this? Here you would use tools like Bible dictionaries, encyclopedias, lexicons. You're studying what the words mean. Maybe you're looking up different topics. And then you can also look at commentaries too. I use commentaries, right? I think most people do. And that's more like, here's what I have tried to interpret what this passage means. I'm going to read a commentary to find out what somebody else said. Do I agree with them or don't I? It is generally not a good idea to go to a commentary to find out what the passage means. That's shortcutting the work of finding out, of study, of the reading, of the asking questions. As you read, as you repeatedly read and reread and try to grasp the text, you will be able to grapple with in your mind, what does it mean? And I don't think there's a shortcut to get to that stage. You have to go through the work of studying and applying yourself. I do think you can get better at it as time goes on, as you get more experience. But even an experienced teacher probably would say there's no shortcut to get to being able to understand what it means and then how to apply it. So moving on to the next section on the application, or how does it affect me section, one thing that I remember Dan Root talking about when he was here doing the class on Bible study a couple years ago, he said, we need more application. Don't tell yourself that I will teach what it means and then I'll let the people in the class do the application to themselves. Thinking through the text, what does this mean to you? What does it mean to me? Is perhaps the most important or the most impactful moment of interaction with the scripture. So I'd say don't deprive your class of it. You've taken the time to study out and see what it means, and you are working with what does it mean to your life, to you specifically as the teacher. That's where we're headed with this. Don't deprive the class of this then. How can we apply this to our lives? James chapter 1, be doers of the word and not hearers only, right? We need to apply God's word. We need interpretation, but we also need application. It takes time to think through and ask yourself good questions. Huh, we've been coming back to that questions thing a lot, right? Ask good questions of the text. Ask good questions to figure out what it means, and then ask good questions about how can I apply it to my life. And I think probably you're going to have to ask these application questions of yourself first. And then you have good things to present to the class. I don't know that coming up with applications means that you need to present to your class this is what it means, and this is what the application you should take away this Sunday with this scripture. Probably even better than that would be to find and craft good questions, thought-provoking questions that will let the people in the class work with how the meaning of the Bible applies to their life. So this could be broad open-ended questions that don't take a lot of time to work on, like, what does this mean to you? And then we talk about it as a class. That can work. And But it would be probably better yet to get to a specific way and just stop short of the actual thing. This passage means that for this week, we need to, whatever, change our ways and make sure we're building on the solid foundation instead of the sand by doing this. It is not an application to say, well, we need to be building our lives on the solid foundation. That's not necessarily applicable. That's an interpretation. So the thing about coming up with good application questions is that the teacher needs to do the thinking. They have to think first, and they have to think harder. But I think that God will bless that that work that in your preparation. And you have ideas for application questions early on in your study. You don't have to wait till the end to do any application. Wait till the end of your study. You can keep a list. Write stuff down. That's one of my other suggestions. And another possibility is preparing scenarios, real life situations. I don't know, this one might be a little bit on the lower end of depth, but so what do you do if you're, oh, here's a good one. This happened to me Friday night. So say we're talking about one of God's commands to give to the poor, that's in the lesson. What do you do when you're in the parking lot of a shopping center, you're meeting your family for a meal, and you go out to the car for something, and this guy in a wheelchair rolls up and asks for money. And you're not sure if he's a professional beggar or if he really needs it, if his story is true. What do you do? So those are questions that work through. And I remember sitting in the men's class up here, and we're talking about things like that. Those are good application questions. So we're running out of time rather quickly here. But just to recap what we talked about so far, keep the Bible text central. That is the foundation of what Sunday school and teaching is. Follow a three-step framework for mapping out how you go about Bible study by asking the questions, first, what does it say? Second, what does it mean? And third, how does it affect me? So three different points for how you work from nothing to Bible study. So some other tips, things that I've found helpful, useful over my experience here. Prayer, I will admit that I'm not the best at this, but there's something about prayer that needs to be done. Maybe you and I need to pray, Lord, teach me to pray. And I don't know what all goes on, but I think prayer goes together with Bible study. Take time, and I talked about this earlier, you need to take time to let the text soak in and simmer, like a good bone broth. It's very hard to take the lesson, open the lesson up on Saturday afternoon and try to get ready to teach on Sunday if you're trying to prepare an adult Sunday school lesson. You need time to work through the text. You need repeated readings throughout the week. It needs time to percolate, to simmer. We talked a lot about questions. So keep a list of questions as you think of them. You don't need to write down every single question, but it would be helpful to keep a list. I do my study, like my notes, on a computer, and so I type them out. I'm a little faster at typing, but even handwriting stuff. You will get the benefit of looking over it later. Like if you have questions, this might be good for application. So I'll write it down, and then later in the lesson prep, you go back and review that list of questions to help make sure you don't forget things. And then just the process of writing it down or typing it out, I think makes you more active in your study rather than just, oh, it occurred to me, and so therefore might be useful, and then just forget about it. Or maybe you're not like me and you can remember all those questions you thought about through the week, but I find that I don't. So keep a list, and you can even divide your list of questions up into different lists, like what does it say questions, meaning questions, application questions, and maybe other questions. And along with the idea of writing things down, start an outline or a lesson plan early. And just, I mean, it will change, right? It's gonna change, might always do. But trying to get an outline of how a class might progress is helpful, and you can start that early. Something that I do is try writing my lessons out. I don't know if that's entirely helpful. You can try it. Some people that I've talked to say, oh yeah, that really helps. Rather than write a keyword down and then expect to talk for 3 minutes on that keyword and remember everything you studied on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, doesn't quite work for me. So I would suggest try writing it out, or at least writing certain parts of it. What else do I have on here? Keep a questions file. Pray. There is no substitute for putting in the work of studying. If this sounds like a lot of work, it is. But I don't think there's anything better that we can study, that we can spend time to dedicate ourselves towards. As a person, my tendency is not necessarily to do Bible study. And so the teaching Sunday school is a way that I'm forcing myself to do this. The deadline of Sunday morning's coming kind of helps you do that. Take some time, ask questions, work on the teaching outline, try writing it out. Work on a short introduction and a conclusion. So I think it is good to have a conclusion for the lesson, and I'm going to do a little conclusion now so that we kind of tie everything together and help remember what we've talked about. So we've talked about a lot, and yet it's a little. We could have a whole class on this. With repeated sessions. So the goal, to better understand God's word and to lead your class toward that as well. To hold the Bible with the highest respect as we will answer to God for how we use it. Asking questions is perhaps the best way to learn. Use the three basic questions as a framework. What does it say? What does it mean? How does it affect me? And then use some of these other tips here. So in close, I would say, Sunday school teaching isn't the easiest thing to do, but it's very rewarding, and I invite you to step up to the challenge. One final note, I have I put an article from David Burkholder from Sword and Trumpet a number of years ago in your mailboxes. There are extra copies on the mailbox table. This is another good resource for you as well. So thank you. You're dismissed.